Brother Johnny, I might go ahead and offer myself. It's good to be able to see everybody met out.
Yes, thank God.
You got an opportunity today that you can never, never have again in all your life. And it can very easily be the last opportunity any of us can have. We're in the last days, and the Word of God teaches us certain things are going to happen. And I don't want to take up a lot of time on that, but just a few years ago, when a holiness preacher got up and began, and they was the only kind of preacher that I heard that was telling people and warning folks about where we were fixing to be standing.
God do bless.
And I thought last night in service, I thought about the prophets hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Back in the time that it would have taken, if you even could get a postcard from Jerusalem up to this part of the country, it would have taken 6 months probably for it to get here. A prophet said there would be two men walking down the street. Two prophets of God. The Holy Ghost would begin to move on them. And they would begin to prophesy to people, and the people would hate them. Oh, they couldn't stand them. And they'd put them to death. And they'd leave, they would hate them so bad they'd leave their bodies laying on the street. I believe 3 days and nights. And the world, all over the world, they would be looking at them. And the world would see the spirit of life come in them and them stand up on their feet and a voice come from heaven saying, come up, Heather.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Don't you know that prophet sound like a maniac?
Yes.
How's the world going to see that? When I first started reading the Bible, you couldn't get a postcard from that part of the country in 30 days. And the world is going to look on these people when the spirit of life enters into them and they raise up and they stand up after laying there on the street dead and go up to meet the Lord.
Yeah, thank God. Glory to God.
How? You know how foolish that prophet must have felt after he said that. Went over there and sat down and says, man, I sure have messed up this day. But you see, right now, I watched an article the other day on television where the Church of the Nativity, it's been a while back now, was burning, they're trying to burn it, burning around there. While it was happening, I'm watching it way over here.
Yes, oh God, dear Lord.
And when the prophets warned you and me that the elements is going to be on fire. The elements, the heavens are going to be on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat.
Yes, oh God.
I want you to think about something. The prophets could not have written more of a description of the day that we're in and the day we're about to face if they were sitting here and discussing these things with our president, our congressman. Our senators. They couldn't have written it any plainer. And I want you just to think for a moment. This is not even what I want to talk about. But I want people to get their mind sober and realize there is only one way for you and me. I was listening to a tape of Brother Miller's grandfather talking the other day. And it was made years ago, I guess. But anyway, he said, first, I want you to know there ain't but one way.
Yes, thank God.
There ain't nothing, he said, but holiness.
Yeah.
Everything else, beloved, everything else that's been concocted by mankind is false. The prophet of God said, I will give unto them one heart and one way. For the good of them and their children after them, that they may fear me forever all the days of their life. And not only that, God when he got out there and he made and spoke everything into existence that was made and put in this world, beloved, after he had done that, he said, let us make man. How? Beloved, God had already made choice before he spoke all this into existence that we should be in him holy and without blame before him in love. And he had predestinated, the word of God said, his way will be called the way of holiness.
Praise God, thank the Lord. Happy Father, dear Lord.
I wanted to ask a question. I know I'm rattling here just a little bit, trying to get away from that anyhow. I want to ask the question, are you hungering and thirsting today for the Word of God? Are you hungry to hear the Word of God? I want you to answer that to yourself. Do you want to hear the Word of God? Are you like the people that we read in the Word of God said, don't speak to me in the name of the Lord? Talk to me smooth things. Or have we become, like he said, you've come unto them as one that sings a beautiful song. I'm afraid too many of our sermons are like beautiful songs. They go home and they say, boy, I heard a wonderful sermon today. I'm talking about the old folks. I heard a wonderful sermon today. I do this every once in a while. Say, what was it? Well, let me see now. It was really good. What'd he say? Well, wait a minute. Let me think now. I know exactly what he said. Well, what was it? What scriptures did he use? Well, I can't remember that. Tell me anything he said, just anything he said. Well, you ought not to have told me that. Look around, find a 5 or 6 year old. Say, come here, hon. What'd that preacher talk on? They sitting back there playing, running around, crawling under the bench or something, and they know it. They remember more about it than the grown-ups. Yes. Beloved, are we hungering and thirsty after righteousness? It is not the hearer of the word that is justified, but it is a doer,
yes,
of the work.
Thank God.
Of the work. There is a work here. Beloved, I know I touched on the prophecies a little bit. People better pay some attention to it. But you know what he said? Over in the 14th chapter of Zechariah, he described exactly what the Americans did to Japanese cities over there, Nagasaki, Hiroshima. He described what they did over there when they dropped an A-bomb on those people. He described it. 14th chapter of Zechariah. But listen, that bomb they dropped over there compared to what they've got now, Brother Robert, you know as well as I do, is not much compared to much more than a firecracker.
God do bless.
We have sat here smugly in this country. We have sat here and watched our politicians take God a name out of our schools, take prayer out of our school, throw down every law of morality. Right now, we got a case going over in Alabama where they're trying to force one of our judges over there to move a marble stand that he's got the Ten Commandments written in. Beloved, we have seen our nation turn from trusting God. We got it still written on our money. Beloved, in God we trust, but we don't trust in God.
Yes, oh God.
We sit around and we've allowed this to happen. We've become complacent. There used to be a song somewhere, we're getting used to the dark.
Yes,
I want you to know something. You and I allow stuff to go on in our living room, in our own home, that our parents and grandparents wouldn't have allowed us to have done and taken part in out in the woods by ourselves.
Oh, God do bless, dear Lord.
You allow, and I allow, language to be used in our home that we weren't allowed to use or participate in out yonder by ourselves.
No.
And it didn't have to be mom and daddy caught us. It could be an old woman sitting over on the hill or an old man down there. And he'd go up there and say, Warren Brown, I saw your boys over there doing something.
Yes, oh God.
What have we done? Children, obey your parents, which is the first promise. First commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thy days may be long upon the earth.
Yes, oh God.
How many little children are dead today because they were just disobedient? And how many of them are dead today because their parents was not the kind of parents the Word of God tells them to be? That's not what I want to talk about either. I'm just rambling, aren't I? I'm fixing to get what I want to talk about here in a little bit, just as soon as the Lord gets ready for it. But I'm going to tell you something. I hear people over and over boasting how they're going to live for God. They're going to live for God and falling away as fast as they can.
God do bless, dear Lord.
I hear people get up, Brother Miller, you do too. They'll boast, I'm going to keep the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, you're not about to keep the Holy Ghost. You understand? You are not about to keep the Holy Ghost. God didn't give the Holy Ghost to you to keep. God gave you the Holy Ghost, if he gave it to you, to keep you. He gave you the Holy Ghost to lead you and to guide you into all truth, all righteousness, to keep you free from sin and condemnation. You can't keep yourself to save your life. That's why today this Holy Ghost religion is the most essential thing. And then I got a brand new Bible and I just started writing in it last night. And one of the first things I want to write in there, beloved, is about the Holy Ghost, the most important word there is in the world. Today or ever has been. Why? Why is it so important? How do I know that? How do you know that? It's because Jesus said all sin, every blaspheme that you can do will be forgiven man, but he that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it'll never be forgiven him in this world, neither the world come. And he that speaketh a word, he said you can speak a word against the Son of Man, against Jesus himself. But whosoever speaks one word against the Holy Ghost, it won't be forgiven him in this world, neither the world to come. That's an important word, isn't it? The Holy Ghost. You know how many times it's mentioned in the Bible? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is mentioned 89 times in the Bible. 89 times. 19th chapter of Acts, when Paul asked those people over there, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we hadn't so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So it's called any Holy Ghost one time. And then the Spirit is mentioned over 500 times. Spirit of Christ. And I'm not going to go on just with these numbers, but what I want you to know is that 89 times the Holy Ghost is mentioned, 77 of those times. Think about this. He is your Savior. He is your speaker. He is your leader. He's your comforter. He's your healer. Beloved, he is your director. He's your sanctifier. He's your baptizer. Beloved, 77 times. And there's somebody come along here say, we're following John the Baptist. That's what they told Paul over there in the 19th chapter of Acts when Paul found certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we hadn't so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, unto what then will you baptize? They said, unto John's baptism. He said this, but beloved, but I want to stop there a minute. If those people hadn't known anything about John's baptism,
baptize them, they would have known about the Holy Ghost. They're Baptist folks, and they'll go to church down there about once a year where I go, and then for the rest of the year they complain and they tell folks, I won't go down there anymore. All he talks about is the Baptist folks. But beloved, I want you to know something. If it weren't for the Baptists, there'd be no holiness. John the Baptist was a forerunner of this thing. But it makes them mad when I say, if you live the doctrine of John the Baptist, you'll be a holiness man or woman. Is it in glory to God? Is it a thing in the world wrong with people studying to show their self approved unto God? Paul said, unto what then were you baptized? Under John's baptism. Well, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people to believe on him that comes after him. He said, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. They hadn't even heard John's baptism. They hadn't heard about it. They had just got up and went out following some false teaching. When they heard this, they had a sincere heart about it. They did a change, didn't they?
Yes, oh God.
They baptized them. Paul laid his hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. And they spake in tongues. Just exactly what happens every time.
Thank God, dear Lord.
I'm going to tell you something. A homemade tongue is not a bit better than a homemade Holy Ghost. In a tongue is not salvation. The Holy Ghost is a salvation. Paul was compelled to ask those people, have you received the Holy Ghost? And Brother Robert, I am compelled to ask people that today.
Yes, oh God, dear Lord.
Now, I want to read a little bit in the Word of God. Getting away from all that. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, 8th chapter of Romans, the 9th verse, you don't belong to the Lord. And you're still in your sins.
Yes, oh God.
Now you can receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. H-A-T-H, present tense. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you haven't got the Son, 8th chapter of Romans, 9th verse, the Spirit of Christ. He said, if you don't have it, you're none of his. You don't have life, but abide, you abide in death. You're walking around here waiting to go to that place where people refuse to obey God.
Yes, oh God.
A man talking to me the other day, he's about my age, and talking about dying, just want to live as long as he could. I says, well, I want you to explain something to me. What difference you going to be 5 years from now, except 5 years older, still want to live longer? What's the difference in going now and going 5 years from now? Let's just be ready to go. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Word of God said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's remember that we're only going to be here for a short while. This is temporary. Boy, I'll tell you what. I was in the schoolhouse yesterday where Sister Betty, when she was a little old bitty girl, went to school. I'm talking about 1937. And I went to school there. 1937. Last time I was there, till yesterday, we went up there for they made a church house out of it, went up there for a benefit singing. And you know what? I was in a little Christmas program, and I just lost my two front teeth, like little seven-year-olds do, six-year-old. And I had to say that little old poem, "All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth." I said if I didn't have them bridged in, I could still say that. But it only seemed like a little while. I looked that old building over, and there it is. It was brand new then. It's in a mess now. But this life is just a short while. And it's passing very swiftly. What are you going to do when the call comes for you to go? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We'll see what Peter had to say over here. I keep thinking about him. I'll try to take my time here. Accordingly as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All the things that have to do with everlasting life, God's given it to us. Now listen, whereby are given unto exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, let's stop just for a moment and always examine ourselves. Have we got a divine nature about us? If we're walking after the Holy Ghost that God has put in us, we've got a divine nature. Our nature has been altered. It has been changed from a natural, beastly type person to one that thinks on the order of God, divine. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. It's not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. All this corruption that is in the world is brought on by three things: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Yes, O God.
You know what causes, brother, and I will just have to do what the Lord lets me do. But do you know what causes a person to get up and try to take the preeminence over God's people? One of the basic sins, one of the sins that the woman Eve committed in the Garden of Eden, the pride of life. She had a perfect order to go by. Very simple, very easy. Just everything was so good and smooth. And she looked up there and God said, "Don't you eat of this." She looked up there and it was desired to make her wise.
Yes, oh God.
And I want to tell you something. Since that day that God passed judgment on that woman, he said, "Your desire shall be unto your husband, and he shall rule over you." And since that day, every since that day, women have desired to take the place of the leadership. And they got there in our country today.
Yes, oh God.
Just want you to know God's word is true. Everything that's in this world, you can't commit a sin that's not covered in those three that woman committed there. She looked upon the tree. She saw it was pleasant to look upon, the lust of the eye. She saw that it was good for food, the lust of the flesh. And it was desired to make her wise.
Yes, O God.
Pride of life. Now, beloved, I want to go on. We have to, this is a warfare that is raging in every man and woman that lives upon the face of this earth. That is, the flesh is warring against the spirit, and the spirit is warring against the flesh. He says so that we can't do the things that we would.
Yes,
that works both ways. Right here, Sister Myrtle, you know what we'd do? Somebody comes in here that's got cancer and we got it all among us. People are praying to die because of the awful pain they're in. And you know what we would really do if we could just do it within ourselves, Sister Patsy? We would go in and in the name of Jesus pray for them, in the name of Jesus anoint them, in the name of Jesus lay hands on them and see them get up, rejoice, and heal. That's what we would do. And you know the reason we can't do that is because we are warring against the flesh that keeps our mind tied up, brother, more than glory to God, more than it's on the powers of God. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
That's why we can't do it. We want to. We want to. But you know what we have to do? We have to get out there and just outstrip ourselves of every thought and every imagination, and sometimes start missing a few meals and find ourselves out there by ourselves weeping and mourning and fasting and praying before we can even reach the prayer of faith. And then, I might as well go ahead with this. I told you, I just have to talk what God puts on my heart. So here we go. The flesh. Lust is against the spirit. War is against the spirit of God. That is within you and me, sister. That old fleshly mind. Boy, I used to just drive some of the so-called preachers crazy when you said that. Oh, man, don't say I got a fleshly mind. Couldn't get out of the house before I was in an argument with somebody.
Yes.
That old fleshly mind. Your little child. Burning up with a fever. You laying there arguing with your husband. The flesh. The flesh is warring against that spirit. He don't want you to reach the prayer of faith and see God heal that little child. Listen, I was raised by a mother. And I want you to know I was grown before I ever went to a doctor. You know why? Something happened to us. That old mother went down on her knees and stayed down there till the power of God come down from a glory world. I remember old Uncle Walter and Aunt Dee when it was young Uncle Walter and Aunt Dee. All the kids, youngins, live right down the, can't say road, down the trail. Yes. Seemed like a long way. Just, you probably don't think it as long as I did because my legs wouldn't have as long as yours back in. But something happened down there. They couldn't have carried them to the hospital if they'd have wanted to. But I remember one of the fellas said, trying to find a little bit of fault. Told my mother, said, if their house was falling, they'd stop and pray before they went out. Mama said, yeah, and the Lord would take care of them, wouldn't let anything happen to them, too. This is what I'm talking about, beloved, and God's Holy Spirit hadn't changed one iota. All that's in the world lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And these are contrary one to another. That we can't do the things that we want to do, that we would do. Why? Beloved, when the Word of God is so pure and so good, and guess what? It brings so much joy you can't understand it.
Yes, oh God.
In that imagination, going in circles. I'll get there in a little bit. Besides this, giving all diligence. You know what that means, don't you? That means be extremely careful. Give all attention to this thing. All of our attention. Boy, all of our attention is a whole lot, isn't it? Don't leave much. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Y'all got faith? Boy, sometimes I wonder if I got much.
Yes, oh God.
Add to your faith. If you, yeah, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it. The Holy Ghost is a gift of God. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So let's examine it. Let's start on the bottom here. Let's start right down at the bottom rung of this ladder, because I hope we can climb a little today.
Yeah, thank God.
Start on the bottom rung. Add to your faith. That thing that, what the old singers say, an instant with a courage bold, I stood up on his word. You know, that's what happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You drag along. I drag along. Other folks drag along. And it comes down to an instant. Now it's time to surrender to the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Now it's time to turn your life over to God. In an instant, with a courage bold, he said, you stood upon his word. Lord God, you said if I'd come, you wouldn't turn me away. Here I am. The devil jumping up and down in your face. What you going to do if your kid starts starving to death? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do if somebody breaks into your home? What are you going to do if your husband mistreats you? What are you going to do if your wife mistreats you? What are you going to do about this or that? He's keeping you out of the kingdom of God. And if you already got the Holy Ghost, he's taking you to hell.
Yes,
woo!
God.
That's a natural mind. That's a devil up there in your face. I know exactly what I'm talking about, Myrtle, because you know what I did there? I'm facing that thing, but I come to that instant where I said, Lord God, I am hurt. I've done everything I know to do, and I'm still lost. I'm hurt. I can't do anymore.
Yes,
what are you going to do if this or that happened? I said, Lord, I don't know what I'll do, but if you will just give me salvation, if you will show me what right is, I'll do right. That's what God wanted. Glory to God. That's what God wanted me to do to start with.
Thank the Lord.
Just let me know what right is, and I'll do it.
Not
if I can live and do it. Glory to God. If it costs me my life. Which one you rather do? Be shot by one of these guys sitting up yonder in the woods somewhere shooting folks for the fun of it? Killed by a drunk driver? Which one would you rather be? Something like that? Die one of those slow deaths that I'm seeing a lot of now. People suffering agony. They can't. The doctors can't even take care of the pain in their body. Or die calling upon the name of our God. Holding forth the word of eternal life. Give our life obeying God. Which one would we rather do? Glory to God. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Well, I know what virtue is, I think. Most folks probably does. But do we? What is virtue? There was a man called Peter, carried a handkerchief in his pocket, or I don't know, might have carried it under his girdle. I don't know. He wore a girdle, I guess, but I don't know what he wore. Run around naked, some. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Y'all knew it. But after he got to be a child of God, he carried something like a handkerchief or a napkin. And I want you to know something. There was a virtue in that man's life that if he couldn't go there, he could send that thing over there to the sick. And God, virtue of God would be in that little old handkerchief. When glory to God, when they sent it over there, thank God. When he walked down the street, praise the name of our God, and his shadow would pass over somebody that was afflicted or crippled, brother. Glory to God. When thank God, he'd walk down the street, there was a virtue, or went out from that man and healed the sick. Where's their virtue, brother? Jesus, walking along, the crowd all surrounded him. A little old woman had been afflicted all those years with an issue of blood. Couldn't get any help, spent all of her living on doctors. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. That don't sound like much. Doesn't look like that'd be too hard to do. But she was crippled up. She was weak. And she made her way through the crowd somehow. Brother, I'm going to tell you. Y'all going to think I'm the most critical fella in the country. But this thing about, remember my grandmother's grandson's got somebody over in South Africa. I want y'all to remember. That is not scriptural, beloved. Let's get down to the Word of God. What did he say to do with these people? Bring them out here. Yes. Get them in the house of God. Well, the virtue of God is, here's this little old woman, and Jesus is walking along there. She said, if I can just touch him, if I can just even just touch the hem of his garment. And she made it, glory to God, she made her way, sister, up through that crowd. And she managed to get down there, brother. She must have been a way down low to get down there because she just touched the hem of his garment. Beloved, and immediately she was healed. Immediately she was healed. Why don't you stand back here at the back side of the crowd and holler, Jesus, I want you to heal me. Beloved, God has got a perfect order, lest you and me get in it. Thank God.
Yeah, thank the Lord. Glory to God.
Why? He said, who touched me? Somebody said, well, the crowd thrown you. How can you say who touched me? He said, I felt virtue go out from me.
Yes,
brother, I want that virtue in me.
Yes, oh God.
And that's the first thing that we're supposed to add, isn't it? Isn't that the first thing we're supposed to add?
Praise the Lord.
Brother Miller, when we received the Holy Ghost, just a bunch of kids, but we had an old preacher there. And he'd come by just about once a week anyway. And he would scare us up good. Man, he had me scared just about of everything that I'd do because I was pretty foolish in my young days. But I want you to know something. It didn't matter if off of yonder somewhere. It didn't matter if they were children of God or not. When they got in trouble, they wanted that little old bunch of holiness people to come over there and pray for them. We was talking about the beginning of the holiness movement through our part of Alabama. Beloved, one of the first things that happened over there when the Holy Ghost fell on those people up around Orange, Tennessee and up in there, beloved, they began to spread out and preach the Word of God right down there in the valley, a place called Stevenson, Bridgeport's where I want to talk about. Bridgeport. There was some people down there, Mrs. Williams down there, just in bad shape. She heard about the Holy Ghost coming up there. Listen, I'm talking about a part in the country when nobody even knew anything about the Holy Ghost. She heard. They heard about the Holy Ghost. There's some folks over there, they can read it in the Bible, that has received the Holy Ghost. I want them to come down here and pray for me. Here come that little old bunch of ragtag people down there. Probably didn't have shoes on their feet. Beloved, but they went down there. And when they did, they prayed for that woman. God healed her. And today, there's a little old church sitting up there.
Yes, oh God. Thank the Lord.
And I talked to the pastor just a short while ago. I'm talking about, beloved, add something there. Where is that charity? Listen now, we want to go a little further. Huh? Add ye faith, virtue, and of virtue, knowledge. Beloved, there is something called knowledge. And the word said, if I seek after her, if I search for us for hidden treasures, if I seek it like fine silver, then shall I have the knowledge of God and the understanding of the holy. There is more to this than hearing a few verses of scripture every once in a while and going out and boasting about, I know what right is and I know what wrong is. Beloved, we've got people that just come out from a denominational church and they're talking with their pastor, their ex-pastor, trying to get him to come down and receive the Holy Ghost, talking to the different members, trying to get them, and they are so good to them, and they, oh, I'm glad y'all got it, but beloved, they won't come around them.
Yes, oh God.
You know what I've told the brethren? I want you to know what God's word. Seek the knowledge of God's word.
Yes, thank God.
That you can show these people what it took. One of the fellers been pretty rough all of his life. I knew him when he was a little bitty fella, and he's a mean little old bitty boy. Grew up just as rough as a cob. I don't have to tell you what rough people do. But he went up there and he decided he was going to die or something. He joined the church. And he asked just about everybody in the family, my family and all, wanted them to come to his baptizing. Didn't ask me. He didn't want me there. I'm glad he didn't. And they was talking about, oh boy, he's glad he changed. And all I said, all he's got to do is hear one sermon. All he's got to do is go to a holiness meeting one time. Well, his son-in-law got bad, all sick. And his son-in-law's a good boy. Belonged to the same organization. But he got bad, all sick. And his daughter, a little cut up anyway, and she told him, says, you know, he'd go to the doctor and he just thought he was going to die. She says, you know what you really need to do? You really need to go down there to the Holiness Church and sit down in that chair they got down there. Well, he thought he was going to die, so he came down on a Saturday night service. Somebody said, we don't have service on Saturday night. I used to kid them about it and say, what do you do then? Everybody go to the movie or something? Beloved, this house of God is a place to find joy.
Yes, it
and
is.
Peace, long-suffering, and gentleness, and meekness, and goodness, and all these good things. Finally, he came down to service on Saturday night, and he sat away back there toward the back, and he sat there. Just couldn't get up enough nerve to ask for prayer. And I knew his wife done slipped around and told me. I knew what he was there for. I wouldn't ask him. Beloved, this is something that's between you and God.
Yes, thank God.
Come back Sunday morning. Still couldn't get up enough nerve to ask for prayer. He decided, well, he was going to die, so he came back Sunday night. Boy, he got up, he made his way up front. We got a little chair similar to that without the arms on it. Set it out front. He come up there and sit down in that, and the power of God come down. Now, the reason you children of God know why the power of God come down is one because that chair had anything to do with it. It could have been sitting on a nail keg as far as that's concerned. But, beloved, when the children of God gathered around, lifted up with a one voice before the Lord and began to cry mightily unto God, the power of God come down. Well, he got, And the Lord healed him, and he got up, and I stood over there and laughed. I guess sometimes things look a little funny to me, but I said, he don't know where to cry, to shout, or what to do. He just don't know what to do.
Praise God.
He come back. Next service time, he come back. He told me he come to get the Holy Ghost. He thought all he going to do is just run down there and get it. He didn't get it. Man, he went back home. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He come back the next time. He come back looking to God and received the Holy Ghost. Well, his dad-in-law, he done got. Hey, and they, hey, I won't tell you what they do now. They get these people in there. Y'all, I don't know. I might be stepping on somebody's religious order, but if it is, that's all it is. His religious order is not salvation, so don't get too bent out of shape. But I want to tell you what they do. They'll get these fine young men in there, brother, and they'll make teachers out of them right quick, and they'll start them going out knocking on doors, inviting folks to church. And they'll keep them so busy that they try to keep the Holy Ghost from saying, you need to move up a little bit, boy. They keep their mind so tied up, beloved. But the fella brought his, talked to his dad-in-law, and here they come down. And they got there. And just like I said, that's all they needed. They heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not.
Yes, oh God.
And they started seeking God. Some of them then received the Holy Ghost. And they're so proud of it. They think all their preacher and their assistant pastor and their youth pastor and their song leader and their substitute song leader, they think every one of them ought to want that.
Yeah.
They don't, brother.
No,
they don't want it. Add ye faith, virtue, and the virtue, knowledge, and the knowledge, temperance. Any man strive for masters, he's tempered in all things. And we started for the most masterious thing I can think of. That's an eternal home in glory.
Yes.
To miss hell fire. Tempering. And I'm going to describe that word, brother, and y'all might have a better definition, but I like this one that I'm going to give you for it right now. You don't go overboard in anything.
Yes, oh God.
You just don't go overboard in anything. Those people in Paul's day, when he wrote some of these scriptures, he compared it to a man that was running in those Olympic races. They was tempered in all things. That meant they didn't stay up too late at night. Well, what's that got to do with living right? Well, if you're staying up and on your knees praying to God, but if you're staying up for some other purpose, you're messing out. You're messing up your connection with God. I'm just obeying God. I don't anybody think I'm fighting anybody. I'm not doing that. But I'm telling you, we're standing on the very threshold of eternal destruction in our country. The heavens being on fire. What if? I heard them say on the news the other day there was 130 briefcase, suitcase they called it, nuclear weapons that was totally missing. They don't know where they at. What if those people that flew that airplane, just one of those airplanes into that tower, had had one of them? It wouldn't have just been the towers knocked down. New York City would have been annihilated. And the fallout would have been over here in this part of the country by now.
Yes, oh God.
Listen, you and I, he said the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You and I can look out and just listen. He describes this in the 14th chapter of Zechariah as destroying people while they are still standing on their feet so swiftly. And you and I could look up and just see a flash, and that's it. And the thing about it, God's word teaches it's going to happen. Temperance. Now he said, and tempered patience. Now the scripture says, in your patience possess you your soul. You might be the best tempered fella in the country. You might study it and strive to get knowledge. You might strive and study to have virtue in your life. But if your patience is down, you're in trouble.
Yes, O God.
And a godliness, brotherly kindness, and a brotherly kindness, charity. Boy, I got to get back here. Brotherly kindness. But he said, add to your patience, godliness. You know what that is? Being like God. Like God. They got a little bumper sticker now, and it says WJD. What would Jesus do? Add godliness. I'm faced with something. How would I be thinking about this? Because God knows what I'm thinking. How would you be thinking about it? And the godliness, brotherly kindness. Let's look at our life. Brother Miller, you just got to do what you got to do. Brotherly kindness, what does that mean? What does brotherly kindness mean? I got a little sister, Sister Myrtle, you know who she is. And she is so good to me. Oh, she's so kind to me. She'll introduce me to people and say, you know, I could control him pretty good till he got 5 years old, and then I just lost control. But she is so kind to me because I'm her brother. Are you kind to your family? Are you kind to your brothers? Are you kind to your sisters? He says for us to add that to everybody. Yeah, treat that old smart aleck preacher kind of with kindness. Treat that smart aleck cop that pulls you over when you're speeding with kindness. Be kind to him. And guess what'll happen? After a while, he'll come to know about you. A while back, the county sheriff had a heart attack. Guess what? I was at the hospital visiting somebody that had just been in a wreck, another hospital. They called over and wanted me to come over to the hospital right quick. The county sheriff. You know why? We were friends. You know why? He was a kind man. And I was kind with him.
Yeah, thank God.
And I got over there. And we prayed for him, but he died. Beloved, brotherly kindness. Are we doing that? Brother Keith, hadn't anybody told me you'd been jumping all over these boys and being mean to them? And I don't believe you have. I don't. But I'm almost afraid that there's some people here, so somebody done talked to him and told him, y'all mean to me. Beloved, if you are, quit it. That's a way to treat people. And you know how that is, just like you want to be treated. My wife gets a little upset at me sometimes, and I'm going to tell you why. I like to use me as an example, Brother Robert, because I'm such a good one, you know. But I want to tell you why she gets upset at me. I got two dogs. Big old lab weighs over 100 pounds, and his little sister is a little smaller. But I want you to know I come in and I go over there sometimes and I'll sit down outside because that old big lab wants to get up and sit in a swing with me or lay his head over on me, and he wants me to be good to him, and I am. And then he wants to go in the house, and I let him go in sometimes, and she runs him back out. Says, if you will make that dog do what you tell him to do, he'll be more obedient. I don't want to hurt my dog's feeling. I'm kind to him. If I can be kind to a dog, that every once in a while I have to go out there and pick up garbage all over the yard and put it up, and if I can be kind to him, I can surely be kind to my brother.
Yes,
Now I got a cat. I named him after my brother, Charlie Brown. And my wife says, you feed him too much, he's going to die with a heart attack. He's great big now. But you know what he does about 3 o'clock in the morning? He comes in my bedroom, stands up, taps me on the shoulder. And if I don't wake up right then, he does it again. And if I don't wake up right then, he taps me with those claws, and that'll wake you up every time. You count on that. And you know what I do? I get up, and he'll go right along, show me what he wants. He wants me to put some food in his dish, and I do. Then he wants to go down in the basement. He can go down in the basement, and I usually leave the door cracked down in the basement. He can go outside and chase the squirrels and things when it's coming daylight. Now, if I can be that kind to a cat, I can surely be kind to my brother. Y'all know what I got out there. Some of you brothers are not as kind to my dogs as I am, because they come out there. But I tell people, sister, that I'm better to my dogs than a lot of people are to the kids. I'm going to make sure if I eat, my dog's going to eat.
Yes, oh God.
And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Well, I believe rather than read charity, I'll just quote it to you, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Some of you musicians, if I asked you what a sounding brass is, well, you'd probably say it's taking one of them brass horns going pop, pop. No music to it, just a loud blast. But right at the same time, a man that has got what it takes to do it, he can make that thing sound wonderful.
Yes, oh God.
Man riding out there in the cavalry on those horses, he can just direct those soldiers which way to go and what to do. Run for your life, charge. Why, they blow taps, and that's an awful sad sound. But just grab it up, blat, 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 that thing. Now that is exactly what your tongue sounds like. That's exactly what mine sounds like if I ain't got charity in my life.
Yes, oh,
am I telling the truth, brother? Nothing to it. Just a while back, big crowd of people there at church. Service is going good. All of a sudden, I heard a tongue tear loose back there in the back. Man, you want to run. Just run. I heard a fellow say on television, one of the old crab, you know him. He said, makes me want to have a trap door up there so I can just pull it and they just go down in it. Though I speak with the tongues of men, that's a natural language. Our angels, that's a spiritual language. That's an unknown tongue. And I have not charity, I'm become just like a loud blast from a horn or beating on an old dead piece of brass.
Yeah.
I don't even have my keys with me. Here's some. Our tinkling cymbal. Now, beloved, if you're not charity there, that's what your tongue sounds like. Does that edify anybody? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that rattles his car key don't get edified. Let's face it. Charity! Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, though I have all faith, all knowledge, understand all mysteries, and have not charity of nothing, though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountain, have not charity of nothing, though I give my body, all that I own, unto the poor. Somebody thinks if giving a cripple a little money is charity. That's not charity, beloved. Though I give my living to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Beloved, charity don't suffer a little while and then have a fit. Charity suffers long and stays kind. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You walk around here puffed up at me. Every once in a while, some of the brethren get pretty puffed up at me. Especially when they decide they want to be teachers. And they come by and they're going to straighten somebody at the church out, and I have to straighten them out first. And they go around puffed up for a month or two, and they find out I'm not going to pet them in that. Beloved, because I don't want to pet people into going down to eternal damnation. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity is not puffed up. Vaunteth not itself. Doeth not behave itself unseemly. Beloved, what does it mean to behave ourselves in an unseemly manner? There are certain things that is required, that are required of children of God. Man, I hate to go any further in this. I'm getting deep into this. But there are certain things that's required of children of God. And if children of God don't do these things, they have denied the faith, the Holy Ghost faith. And they have become worse than an infidel. You know what an infidel is? You ever encounter any of them? I had one come up in front of our business one time and started talking with me. Whew. Brought a fear on me how he was blaspheming God. I just said, nice to him, Brother LJ. You know what I did? I said, come here, I want to show you something. He walked out there, women. I walked away out there to a big old power line pole. Out there, that power line pole happened to be on my property line. I said, you see this pole right here? He said, yes, sir. I said, this is the corner of my property. I'd rather you'd stay on that side of it. Well, now, I didn't mean to be insulting or anything. I says, I didn't mean to make you mad. I said, you didn't make me mad. I just don't want you on my property. I don't want anybody like you on my property. God is going to get you, and I don't want to be standing close to you when he does.
Yes, oh God.
Beloved, how do we stand with the Lord today? How do we stand with the Lord? I want to tell you what a Church of Christ preacher pulled on me one time. He got on the radio. Oh, that holiness preacher over there, he claims that these signs are following him. He said if he would, he could handle a rattlesnake. And I'm going to challenge him to a debate. Well, you know what my answer was? We'll go down here and get a rattlesnake. We'll set it up there on your podium before your congregation. And you get up there and you tell them these signs shall not follow them who believe. And you're the same kind of a liar the devil himself is. Because that's all he did to make himself the father of a lie is he put a knot in God's word. And you get up there and it may take you a whole series of lessons, but we'll let you get up there and tell these people these signs shall not follow them that believe. And I said, now I'll stand there before your congregation and tell them these signs shall follow them that believe. And if God don't deliver me to take up that serpent, I'll never preach holiness again. But when he does, you quit what you're claiming. You walk off and leave it. Brother Winston was on his way to Alabama. I had to leave that radio station and rush down to church to get the service started. But he was on his way and he's listening to the radio and he picks this guy up and he knows right quick he's talking about me. Brother Winston come in and says, if you stay on the radio, that band will leave town. It wasn't 3 weeks till that guy just jumped up and left his whole church. He had made such a fool out of himself. Such a fool out of himself. Beloved, we don't go around having snake handle meetings. We go by the Word of God.
Yes, oh God.
But I took up that rattlesnake if he'd have bit me and killed me. Because God said these signs shall follow them. And the devil made himself a liar when he put a knot in the Word of God.
Yes, oh God.
Now let's go a little further here. I believe I've gone about far enough with this. He said, yeah, I think it meat is long. No, wait a minute. I want to go a little further. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things. Now, this gets us down there, Brother Robert. Pretty thin ice, doesn't it?
Yes, oh God.
He that lacketh these things, a fellow that don't have these things in his life. He that lacketh these things is blind. If we don't have these things I've talked with you about, he says we're blind. We're blind. Now, let's ask ourselves, am I blind to the truth of God's word? And cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. He has forgotten what an awful burden, what an awful condemnation was upon him when he went down there, Brother LJ, and turned his life over to God. Why? Because he hadn't added these things. He hadn't done these things that God told him to do. And all of a sudden, he don't know where in the world he's at.
Yes, oh God.
Wherefore, the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your election and sure, your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Don't run around here scared. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. For so, now, this is what I want to read to you concerning this. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. I wanted to add this because I was at a place a while back. Feller set himself up as having the preeminence over the people. He said, we figure we've heard enough preaching until we can make it the rest of our life without any more preaching. I want you to think about that. Those of you that's been without a pastor here for a while, are you hungry? I could call the name of the place, but I went to a place I used to go to and see a house full. Folks standing with open windows because they couldn't even get in the house listening to the Word of God. Seeing people born into the family of God. But I went over, kind of like going back home. After a while, I went over there. Here come two of the guys in. One of them sat down on either side of me. Won't you sit up here with us? And I sat down. They says, we don't need a preacher over here. Don't? No. We don't need a pastor. Don't? No. Why not? We already know enough. We know enough till the devil cannot overthrow us. I said, well, that's awful good. Where'd you learn all that? Bible told us. What'd he tell you? Well, he told us. Yeah, but I want to know where he said that. But I want to know about that because I like that. I like to think that the devil hadn't got any power to overthrow me, nor nothing in the world. I says, where's it at? Well, they couldn't exactly think of it, but one of them had boasted before, said, now I'll put the Word of God on you. I said, well, son, put the Word of God on me now. I want to hear it. I want to know about this.
Yes,
after they couldn't tell me, I said, are you talking about when
where Peter said, "Wherefore, brethren, giving all diligence, add to ye faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, knowledge, patience, patience, temperance, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they'll keep you that you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, brethren, if you do these things, you shall never fall." That's it. That's our promise. I said, "Okay, then. That sounds good, but tell me what's going to keep you from falling." "That's all good to do that, but what's going to keep you from falling?" One of them leaned around me and whispered in the other one's ear. And you know, they didn't speak to me the rest of the night. When I left, they didn't say "don't come back" or "goodbye." And the guy that leaned over and whispered in his ear, Brother Miller, died, and I didn't get to ask him, "What'd you tell that boy anyhow?" I think it was over trying to pastor a church now. If a blind leads a blind, they're all headed for destruction.
Yes, oh God.
Well, let me tell you the reason that they didn't want to hear the rest of that. I'm going to read it to you. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Who's going to do that in ministering? Y'all don't need a preacher. Y'all don't need an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Who's going to do that in ministering? You see, the devil deceived them. He'll deceive you if you let him. Y'all pray, the fields are white and the harvest is few. I would love to have been able to read just a little bit over here in what the fruit of the Spirit is. Can you all stand about, if I read this fast, just about 3 more minutes? Let me see if I can't. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is in total contrast to the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. I'm not going to take up much time with love. If y'all don't know what it is now, let me know when I'll come back. Joy. You can shout till you drop dead. And if love is not in your heart, that shout's not worth a dime. Now, a tree brings forth fruit in its season. In your season as a child of God is first to let the love of God that was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, let that be multiplied. Let that be known. First one, love. And it will bring forth joy. Any joy without that love is useless. And the next thing and the next fruit here is peace. If we've got love and we got joy, we'll have peace. Brother Robert, if you ain't got love and joy in your home, you are an unpeaceful man in your home.
Yes, oh God.
If you ain't got love in your home, you got to get to working on love. Love. Love will bring joy. Oh man, I got to tell you this. Just any day now, I'm going to have a great grandson. I love that little fellow already. I saw his picture. They already taken pictures of him before they're born now. Oh, he was a little blob, and I took a look at it. Oh, he looked like his daddy. But you know what? Already my wife's getting a place fixed up, a little room for him. 2 of my daughters getting a little room in their house for him. My grandson-in-law ain't said, "I'm moving right over there next door to him. If y'all want to see him, well, y'all have to come see him." That little fella's bringing love to a family that don't even know each other. Love.
Yes.
And guess what? That love makes you feel good. Brings joy to you.
told my daughter, I said, go up there and get you one of these old barrels, the old metal barrels. We got them sitting all over the place. Stick your head down in there and say, nanny, nanny, and you know what it sounds like. Brings joy. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. And then there'll be peace in that home. And until the love and the joy is working, there's not going to be much peace. Children, you love your parents. Bring joy to them. You owe them that. Let me see, where am I at? I'm on the wrong page. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. You ever wonder why some people sitting around just on a hair trigger? I was at a restaurant a while back, just stopped by way down near the Gulf Hall down there with a tractor trailer rig some, and I stopped at a Hardee's, and just as busy as it could be, and there's this little cantankerous old man over there. And this real nice little girl just running fast as she could, trying to wait on all the people in there. And she handed him his order, says, would this be to go? Told you what it was when I come in here. You know what? That hurt me just about as bad as if it had been my little old granddaughter in there trying to wait on that foolish old man. Grabbed it and went over there and started getting his drinks, just a cursing and carrying on. Bunch of ignorant folks over here, send them to school, they don't ever learn anything. There is a miserable man. You know why? He didn't have love in his heart. He didn't have any joy in his life. Couldn't suffer long. Boy, I'm glad of this. I tell you, I am so glad of it. I know I bored you all to death. But I had a nephew work with me a little while, and things would happen. He'd just tear him all to pieces. He'd just go into a fit. And I'd say, what about that? He went home one day, and he read in the Bible where he said, great, talking about people that live for God, said, great shall be the peace of their children. He said, I can tell you one thing, his mom and daddy, they live too good because he got too much peace. He ought to get mad about some of this stuff. Why get mad about it? It's not going to change it. The only one that'll change is down here, beloved, and I don't want that change at all. I had an operation, and they told me when I left, the doctor said, now, I need to tell you, your personality is going to change. You're going to be totally different. I said, uh-uh. I like my personality just like it is, and that's the way it's going to stay. Here we go. Let's finish up here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness. After we've suffered a long time, we still don't get mad and throw a fit. Goodness. And finally, we get a hold of some faith over there. Something that virtue can work with. Meekness. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Boy, I'll tell you, I know one thing, y'all got a little patience, and I've tried. But I'm going to tell you something. I want you to know I love every one of you. I really do. And you can ask old Brother Millard up there. I love him. And I can look him in the eye and say, Brother Millard, I never have said anything bad about you. I might say something bad every once in a while to him, but he knows I understand all that. Beloved, why? Sister Dorothy, I know you got these sweet little old girls and you love them, but you wouldn't like it at all if I come by just insulting them and slandering them to you. You wouldn't like that. Well, you wouldn't like it if I slandered his sister over here. You know you wouldn't like it. Well, you're not going to like it if I slandered this little lady back here. One of your sisters back here, she's not going to like it. You know why? She'd a whole lot rather that somebody would come by and do something that would build you up in the love and the power and the grace and the mercies of the Holy Ghost than slander you. I talk to people about the way of God. I talk to total strangers. Talk to an old Baptist preacher. Man, he must have been 75 years old. Old man. He quoted a few scriptures to me, and I listened to him. I said, man, they sound good to me. And I got to talking with him about what it's going to take to really be a child of God. We stood there for about an hour and a half and talked. He says, I want to come see you and spend some time with you. You know what I could have done? I could have 2 minutes and he'd have left mad. I said, well, I got some parting advice for you, and I'm going to have to go. He says, what is it? I says, just go on your way and be a fool. Be a fool? I says, yeah, just be a fool. Be a fool for Christ's sake. Let people call you a fool. Just be a child of God. And I said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. That old man left and wanted direction to my house so he could come down and talk with me some more. Now, hadn't you rather do that than have a smart aleck answer for somebody? Yes, run them off. Every once in a while, I have to have a smart aleck answer. Just can't keep from it. But I've got love in my heart because God put it there. I want you children of God to pray for me, because if God wants me to stay here a little while longer, I am looking for almost like an explosion happening. And when it happens, I don't care if it happens right here. Up there, we're going to have a new place to worship up Brother Miller's. I don't care. But when it happens, I want it to be like it was on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost hit that place. That same day, there was just about 120 received the Holy Ghost that day, that first. But then that same day, there was 3,000 piled in there. Yes, that was an explosion, wasn't it? That's what I'm looking for. Because God has promised, in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Beloved, I want to see that. And then, Sister Dorothy, I might say, well, I'm ready to go on, but I might say, no, I want to see another one. Yes. This is wonderful. I thank God that I've been able to be with you. I didn't mean to take up. Well, I reckon I did. I tell you, I did it. So, brother, what do y'all want to do? If you want the Holy Ghost, I want you to come up here to the altar and surrender your life to the Lord. And children of God, I want us to spend more time in prayer and supplication with the Lord and with one another.